We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we come to this Sunday pretty infused with politics as we have witnessed the inauguration of our new president of the country, and people have reacted to it in different ways. And now we hear from it about politics from the book of Matthew. We see a backdrop of a very political world where Jesus started and performed his ministry. Matthew is the one who tells us about Herod coming after Jesus and the baby boys in Bethlehem because the wise men had told them of a new king born there. Mary and Joseph go to Egypt as refugees and are there until Herod dies. But it's still too unsafe to go back to Bethlehem because of Herod's son, so they go to Nazareth in the former hinterlands of Israel, and they're up in the far north of Israel. And Nazareth is in this area of Zebulun and Naphtali, which had long ago been taken over by Syria and now had many Gentiles living there. It was a very mixed-race area. And our lesson today reminds us that Jesus had wandered farther south, closer to Jerusalem in the area by the Jordan River, where John the Baptist had been active in his ministry, preaching and baptizing. But John couldn't keep his prophetic mouth shut and had called out the authorities for committing adultery and had been arrested. So as our lesson begins today, Jesus goes back up north after the arrest of John because he can tell what kind of political wind is blowing. But he doesn't go back to his hometown of Nazareth, which is more hidden away, but he goes to Capernaum, a town on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's a fishing village, but it's also a taxing center for the inhabiting Roman government. It's also a trading route between Greece and Persia, so it has more going on than Nazareth had going on. And there Jesus picks up the key passage of John the Baptist, now silenced because John is in jail. And Jesus doesn't back away, but he calls the people to repent, to change, and to reorient their lives to the way of God. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's another way of saying repent, for the empire of God is at hand. It's a repudiation of the Roman Empire in which they live. He calls for a new way, a new look at things, a new way to live in light of God's benevolent style. But Jesus knows he can't do this by himself. He can start it, but he needs a group dedicated to him who will take his message to the world. He also knows he may well receive the same fate as John, and not just be arrested, but also be killed, as John was also finally. Jesus is not one to step away from danger, so he goes to the lake, or what we call the Sea of Galilee, where the Romans have strong control. The commercial fishermen there feel the weight of the taxing and regulating Roman government. They seethe with anger when they bring their hauls of fish in at the end of the day and need to pay high taxes on them. And Jesus invites them away from this style of life. He says, come and follow me. In effect, he's saying, come and live under a different kind of rulership where there is plenty, and there is abundance, and there is multiplying rather than taxing. We know in another gospel, at the call of Peter and Andrew, they haul in a big catch of fish when Jesus calls them to follow him. They are to come to a style of life where there is plenty and abundance, even where they give themselves away. There's so much to receive, you can give it away. It's a call to a new kind of thinking, a new economy, where the thinking isn't so much like there's only so much here and I'd better get mine too. But it's another kind of way of thinking, saying God's made it all, and when I'm God's, God is delighted for me to have what I need and to share it with other people. The call of Jesus isn't just to a new kingdom or a new ruler, it's a call to a new economy also. Jesus walks down the shore a little ways and finds the fishermen, James and John. They're doing some of the drudge work that goes along with the job. They're mending their nets. And Jesus calls them also and says, come and follow me. They drop everything and they do follow him. They're ready for a new life and for a new one to answer to. It's not that this new life isn't a little complicated, We've heard just a few words here that remind us that James and John leave their father to follow Jesus. They make that sacrifice right away. So following Jesus into the kingdom has had the side effect of human heartache forever. There is a larger family of God Jesus' followers are called to, but in many times and many places that means separation from family, as it often did in those earliest days. There it might have been because of being persecuted or being disowned, or just to go on the mission for Jesus, to leave and follow and tell people in other places. Those who follow the Lord in works of service, especially from professional church work or in missionary work, have to learn how to say goodbye. It's complicated when you say, Jesus, yes, I'll follow you. They left with Jesus, and they went throughout this semi-religious area of Galilee where there were synagogues. So they went to them, it says, and preached about this new way of ordering one's life. They proclaimed good news where they found a lot of bad news. The Roman Empire was harsh. It kept the common people poor. They had to scrape for everything, and thus their health was poor. They were not well fed. They had to work very hard to get by. So there was a lot of illness, a lot of deformity from poor nutrition. Jesus came along, it says, and healed every disease and every sickness among the people. So we see that health care and wellness has long been an issue involving government. Jesus heals the people as a sign of the new kingdom to come, where a new alignment with God takes away the sickness and illness which comes from the current regime, but which brings life and fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Soon after this, it says, Jesus teaches the people to pray. And part of his prayer is, the kingdom will come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus teaches us to pray for the coming of this new kingdom, the new empire of God. In heaven, God has plenty. We want health and wholeness on earth. We want there to be enough bread, not the scarcity that comes with tough life. And that's what God wants for us. And that's what can be when we live well with care for one another. From this lesson, we are reminded that as people who are Christians, living with politics and governmental leaders is nothing new. Jesus and the first Christians were dealing with Romans and shaped by how the Romans reacted to them. Sometimes Christianity has become very cozy with the government around it, and often that turns into a very complicated dance that needs to be done. In our country, it was said at the beginning, church and state will be separate. So like it was in the first century for those early Christians who lived alongside the government, they weren't a part of the government. And depending on who was emperor, some they were either to be tolerated or not to be tolerated. That depended on who the emperor was. So today in our country, we live alongside the government and the political process. We know that the government is a gift from God that helps keep good order. And we know that with the democracy we participate in is our government, our way of government. And that's the way we live out our Christian values through our involvement with our government. But we also know that our ultimate allegiance isn't to government, but to our Lord, who comes with the promise of an alternative way of ordering things. In Matthew, we hear of Jesus going about doing the miracles to show what God is up to in feeding people and healing people. God shares the word of Jesus. John shares these word of Jesus in his gospel. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. That's what God wants for us. One little phrase in our lesson from Matthew seems like maybe a short throwaway line, but another view is to say if it didn't have importance, it wouldn't be in there at all. When Jesus comes upon John and James, they are mending their nets. And when we think of it, there are many other biblical references to nets being broken, nets being mended. A large net is a traditional way to think of the church of God holding those who have been called by Jesus. Almost always that net of the church needs some mending and some tending. And the networks and nets of our relationships in the world can get frayed and frazzled as well. Mending the nets and dealing with the relationships which may be frayed or broken is part of what we can do and what we can be about as we live in the spirit of Jesus, showing that there is another kingdom where there is love and sharing and forgiving. Then the healing of Jesus can keep breaking into the world to show how God brings a different way to live. Amen.